WildTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
What a show this was. Something like that. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Pop Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by GoWork.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Tonight on Monday Night Raw, we kicked off with an announcement. Didn't we not, Lindsay Ward?
We did. We kicked off with Roman Reigns coming out and informing us of what his SummerSlam plans are, which, pretty straightforward, kind of called it last week. Whoever wins, whether it's Joe or Brock, Roman wants him for SummerSlam. Because he's the number one contender. Why? Because it's his yard? I didn't realize that was a...
It's all you need. You know, you can lose to everyone in the world, but because you say it's your yard, you're number one contender. So if Bro Dallas said this was his yard, he would be number one contender.
Bo, honey, say it's your yard.
Please. No, don't say it's your yard. I don't want to see Bo get destroyed by Brock again.
But he's the new and improved Bo Dallas. He has the glare down.
He has the glare down. We'll get to that. So, as Lindsay mentioned, that was what Roman Reigns said. He talked about beating Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor, his little brother Seth Rollins, Braun Strowman, who he injured. He also main evented his third straight WrestleMania in a row, and he's the guy who retired The Undertaker.
Right in the feels.
I respect him, and he respects me because I beat him. Really.
It doesn't matter how much you say he respects you, we are not going to get over it. So just move forward.
He even talked about, you know, he wants to be number one contender. He'll face Brock or that guy they call Joe. Because this is my yard, and I make the rules around here. Samoa Joe came out. Joe said he couldn't help but notice Roman seems to have forgotten his name. Joe said he was offended initially, but then realized that Roman had to make his case for his announcement. He said, Reigns listed the guys he's beating, but he's never beaten me. Joe says he's the true number one contender and the next Universal Champion. Reigns said he never thought he would agree with Paul Heyman, but he was true. He was right. You'll never be Samoa Joe to me. You'll always just be Just Joe, who, in case you all forgot who Just Joe was, he was a jobber back in, like, 96, 97 era. Just saying. Joe headbutted Reigns, they battled. Reigns ended up hitting Joe with a Superman punch, and that's how that ended.
I had a little apprehension on this, just because it's 2 weeks out from Great Balls of Fire.
Is it two or three?
Okay, so it's 3 weeks out from Great Balls of Fire. The last thing you want to do is put your current number one contender up against your top guy like that, at least to me, because with the way that they've been booking Roman lately, it's Roman Smash. And it's like you're very concerned because when you're having Joe go up against Brock, which is a money match everybody's super excited for, the last thing you want to do is have Joe lose to Roman. Not that there's anything wrong with Roman, but it's like, again, you want Joe looking really super strong going in against Brock.
So, we're just going to get to it. The matchup was Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe. They had a good match. Like, if there was any doubt of that.
It was very physical, which is what it needed to be. I liked the pairing. I actually kind of look forward to the feud when they get to it, just because I want to see them beat the crap out of each other.
So they went about 18 minutes.
They went about 18 minutes. Like I said, very physical. Very, very, very good. They did an interesting sort of finish with this, which we were all kind of expecting because it's like, okay, you know, Roman's going to come out and make the announcement tonight. He's not on Great Balls of Fire, so they're going to set up something for him because it makes no sense to really do anything with him right now if he's not on the pay-per-view. So they're going to set it up. Tonight's kind of the night that they have to do it. So they have Roman and Joe in the midst of the match, and they're coming towards the end. And well, all of a sudden you hear this beep, 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 beep. And sure enough, on the video screen, there's an ambulance pulling up. Who could be in that ambulance? Gee, I wonder, is it Dean Ambrose? Nope, the doors burst open. A roar rumbles from the ambulance. Who is it? It is the one, the only, Braun Strowman. He's back. And he is not done with Roman. And much to Roman's horror,
so,
he gets...
Go ahead.
He gets distracted, and, well, Joe is able to pick up the victory.
Made a Roman pass out. Okay, couple things. Joe got the win, semi-clean.
I'm okay with this. He choked Roman out, so Roman didn't get pinned. So Roman still looks strong, which is good, but Joe chokes him out, which is better.
But Joe shouldn't have needed the distraction to win.
Joe should have needed the distraction to win, but this was more setting up Roman and Braun, which honestly really could have been achieved by in the opening segment. You didn't necessarily need to do this match to achieve what you did, but is what it is.
It is what it is, but here's the thing. You don't... I know Roman Reigns is the guy, but Samoa Joe is the guy today. He's fighting Brock. It should all be about Samoa Joe being built. It doesn't matter what Roman's doing. You can set up Roman anytime. Samoa Joe needs to always look strong. And he shouldn't need a cheap win, you know, distraction to get a win. That's all I'm saying. He doesn't need a distraction. Because guess what? Roman hit his big moves and was about to win. That didn't make Joe look good. Which means, you know, Joe, you have to make... Brock's a beast. Joe needs to look better. He looked good in the match, but it should have been a decisive win.
Yeah, this kind of hurt Joe in the sense that they did this really great pull-apart brawl with Joe and Brock last week. You've had this tremendous build for Joe. And then you, like I said, you know, you bring him in, you put him up against Roman, which it's, you know, a foregone conclusion. It's at some point they're going to meet. Personally, I wouldn't have done it 3 weeks out from Great Balls of Fire. I wouldn't have used Joe as the setup for Roman and Braun. Like, there were other ways you could have done that, but it is what it is. It's what happened.
You needed a main event for this a main event marquee match for the show, so you want Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns. I get that, but guess what? Samoa Joe should just be destroying people in 3 minutes on Monday Night Raw until he gets to Brock, because then look at this. Samoa just went 18 minutes with Roman Reigns. Like, he shouldn't be doing that. He should be destroying people. If you want to make it seem like Joe's this badass going against Brock. That's all. That's my opinion on it. Just a booking philosophy. That's all.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, Roman should kind of be doing the same thing. And then it's this eventual meeting of these two forces coming against each other. And, yeah. I mean, honestly, like I said, if you needed to do the setup for Roman versus Braun, there were other ways you could have done it. There were other people you could have used, or you could have done it in the opening segment, but they did what they did. I'm not complaining about the match. The match was perfectly fine. I don't think it did either of them really any favors.
And that's the problem.
But it at least got them on TV, and at least they had a good match.
It didn't. It was a good match. It was a good TV match. Again, it should have been a pay-per-view main event match, but it is what it is. It was fine. But booking-wise, Samoa Joe should be looking like an unstoppable force meets the immovable object of Brock Lesnar. That's how it should be. Yeah, that's how you book it, but that's just me. So, Braun beep, beep, beeped his way into the building. He came out, said, "I'm not finished with you," chokeslammed him, reverse chokeslammed him, and then challenged Roman Reigns to an ambulance match at Great Balls of Fire.
To which Roman accepted.
Did he?
Well, they threw up the graphic.
Which they had so conveniently made in 3 minutes.
Hey, I'm telling you, that graphics group, they're top-notch.
They must be able to... They must know things. They must have ESP.
They must. Or they have a you know, an inside in Kurt Angle's office.
Maybe they do. Or maybe they have just as ESPN too. Or news. Who knows? Anyway, let's run down some matches, shall we? The Hardy Boys beat Gallows and Anderson. Good stuff.
Fine stuff.
Akira Tozawa beat TJP in 10 minutes.
Titus, Honey, Tozawa really doesn't like you. He doesn't want to be with you. Could you maybe just, you know, sort of leave him alone?
Neville wasn't happy with it either. Because, you know, he doesn't want Tozawa coming after him.
Best thing they have ever done for Neville is turning him heel. Honestly, swear to God. Best move ever, because he's just thriving in that role. He was on commentary. He was great on commentary.
No, he wasn't. He was just sitting.
I count that as on commentary.
No, he actually moved away from commentary.
But yeah, he was sitting there watching the match. I bless King Neville. I love him so much. He's such a sassy, grumpy bastard. It's amazing.
Yeah. Cesaro and Sheamus beat Titus and Apollo.
Points!
The Drifter had a concert. Well, sort of. He was trying to tune his guitar and, well, he was having issues, and Finn was like, I'm done listening to you tune your guitar. He came out. I thought they were going to have a match. They didn't have a match. But instead, Finn fought someone new. Or old.
He fought someone different. Not new. Different. Yes, for the first time in a while. Actually, since last week, really. But for the first time in a while for a match, we believed. We believed hard, y'all, through these dark times, but by God, it paid off because Bo Dallas appeared on WWE Raw against Finn Balor and died.
And died. So he attacked him before the match, and he put on a strong attack on him. And Finn,
yeah, like, he looked good.
He looked good, and then Finn was like, "Yeah, I'll fight." And they had, you know, they had a 3-minute match, but it was like he had a little bit before, a little bit after. It was a good match. Good stuff. Bo looked strong. Bo's lost some weight.
Bo grew a beard. He did. Looks like he's been living under an underpass for 2 years.
Yeah, did. They mentioned how he's struggled since the brand split.
Struggled. He's been struggling since before the brand split. I'm sorry,
but he's been really struggling since the brand split.
Yeah, he can't get on TV. It's most depressing. I miss Bo Dallas. I miss him on my TV. But he was on.
He was on. And I'm blaming Matt because now, you know, he jinxed it. He said I'm sounding good, and since then I've been coughing. So it's Matt's fault. I, you know, have no voice at the moment.
He's sick.
I was doing good. I really was. Until, like, we started the show.
Awesome. I think you sound fine, but anyway.
No, I've been coughing for the last 5 minutes. There's a difference.
Well, let's get through this before you start coughing again.
Oh, I know. Anyway, so backstage, speaking of Bo Dallas, Miz was looking for people. Bo was being encouraged by Curtis Axel, and
found each other.
They did find each other, and basically, Miz wants them to be in his entourage. So, okay, so he's recruiting them. You know, he said, you know, what's happened to them since, you know, the Marine 5. Was it Marine 5, right? So since Marine 5. So it's like, okay, cool. They're going to be an entourage. So Miz is very, very sad. And him and Maurice haven't spoken. And it's been a real struggle. So it's Miz's, you know, apology tour. So it's Miz TV. He has a big box in the ring. He has two bears in the ring. One says, I'm sorry and please forgive me. On those signs, Maurice came out with her own entrance music.
God, I missed her music.
Miz told Maurice he loved her. He leaned in for kiss, but, you know, she turned away. He said, yeah, I deserve that. He admitted he was wrong, and he ruined the grandfather clock, but he also apologized for knocking off the ring last week. He said, sorry isn't good enough, but he got her a gift. So she opened the box. And inside the box is a grandfather clock. He watched videos on YouTube on how to repair one. He used glue, tape, polish, you know, the whole nine yards. He said it was perfect, just like her, and just like them. Maurice was about to accept the Miz's apology when, and they did kiss, and then she accepted the apology, and then Ambrose came out. Miz pulled Maurice in front of him, causing her to spill champagne on herself. Miz apologized, but she was still pissed. Miz charged at Ambrose, who moved, causing Miz to knock down the grandfather clock again. Maurice slapped Miz. She walked away. Ambrose then attacked Miz, closed him to the outside. And then the bears got involved. And who were the bears?
Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel.
So, they attack them. 3-on-1 attack. Dean gets taken out with a skull-crushing finale. Good segment.
Really good segment. Really enjoyable. 3 Bo Dallas sightings. Y'all. 3!
3.
You can't see my hand, but I'm holding up a 3. I'm here for aggressive Bo Dallas. Like, angry, aggressive Bo Dallas. It is terrifying how much he looks like his brother now. With a beard. Like, you can see that they have the same, or not the same, but very similar bone structure in the face.
Oh, yeah, with the glare in the backstage, yeah.
Oh, my God, the glare! Holy crap! And then there's this picture of them on Instagram where Bo's doing this, like, evil smile, and it's like, back! Get back! It's there!
Mm-hmm.
Bo and Bray just need to find each other. We'll see if it happens. happens, but yeah, I'm here for anything that they're going to do with Bo Dallas, so do away, WWE, do away if you want to make him evil and aggressive and just have him mess people up.
Yeah.
Fine with that. Totally fine with that.
Finn Balor was asked backstage by Charlie? Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah.
What's next? And he says, you know, he wants to be Universal Champion, and then he was attacked by the Drifter, who told him never to interrupt me again. So we're game Drifter versus Finn, probably Great Balls.
I'm okay with this.
Should be alright. So there was that. I'm trying to think of what else happened. Oh yeah, I'm trying to think of the little things that happened. So Seth Rollins was revealed as the cover athlete, not cover boy, which Cole was trying to say, but then probably someone yelled at his ear, don't say boy on television, and corrected himself. So Seth Rollins came out. He's on the cover of WWE 2K18. The commercial's awesome. We'll talk more about it on Thursday. So he comes out and talked about growing up and how cool it was to see Michael Jordan, Peyton Manning, and Shawn Michaels on the cover of video games. Trying to remember if Shawn was ever on the cover of a video game. Maybe he was on one of them. Maybe. My memory doesn't remember it, but hey, could have been a thing.
I think he was on the cover of, like, one of the Raw versus SmackDowns or something like that.
But that was like, when DX was on the cover of one of them, yeah. But that's not when he was growing up. Neither was Peyton Manning. Anyway, doesn't matter. Point is, making up nonsense. Corporate nonsense, which sort of brings up a point of what Bray Wyatt talked about. By the way, he said this is our cover, so I want the royalties from the cover.
We're not going to get the royalties from the cover.
But he said it's our cover.
Does not mean he's willing to share.
Anyway, Bray Wyatt appeared. Said Rollins was contradicting himself again. He said Rollins talks about how he's grown as an individual, yet all he can talk about are his material possessions. He says Rollins said he is his own man, yet he shields the corporate banner. Wyatt said he feels the struggle within Seth's soul. He said Rollins is confirming to what the people want him to be. You can wear the clothes of a guy, clothes of a good, honest man, but you and I both know deep down that you're not that man. Rollins said, you know, he's not that man. He's the man. He said he's been around the most egotistical men in the business, but Wyatt has taken to a new level. Rollins spoke about facing a legit God. He talked about how the truth about gods are they only exist in our minds. Rollins said, Wyatt may be a god in his mind, but not in this world. He is also a coward in Seth's mind. Wyatt talked about Rollins taking his name vain. Wyatt said it was time to make a sacrifice. Because he's here, he comes out, does his full entrance. Rollins leaps off the top rope with a big cross body, and then walks away. So.
And Seth got a cut on his cheek.
He did. Okay, couple things. Good stuff promo-wise. That's positive. But Seth Rollins said, you know, Bray's a coward, but Seth is the one who hit jump Bray when the lights came right on, and then walked away after one move. Isn't that cowardish?
It's well established Seth Rollins is kind of a coward.
But he was calling Bray the coward.
Yeah, but I mean, Seth's a coward. We know this from his authority days. He doesn't do confrontation well.
I know this, but it just, you know, again, something I wanted to point out, that's all.
Here's the thing. You are having two imperfect individuals feud with each other. Seth Rollins has his flaws. He will admit as much. Bray Wyatt has his flaws. They can't discuss them on TV. Anyway.
No, they can't.
Even though I really kind of wanted Seth to take a shot. They didn't do it.
He didn't do it, no.
Yeah. Anyway, so you have these two imperfect individuals. Seth Rollins, I wouldn't necessarily call it running away. He faced Bray. He waited for Bray in the dark, which I wouldn't necessarily call that cowardish. I would call that taking advantage.
But the running away was cowardish.
The running away was a little cowardish, but again, it's like, do you want to stay and fight and potentially get your ass whipped, or do you want to live for another day? Like, let's be real. He hit the move on Bray to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, I don't necessarily want to fight you right now, but I'll fight you later. But, so it's like, it's more, I think, of a survivor's instinct than it is a cowardish one.
I guess.
Because the more cowardish would have been, like, Bray brings the lights up and Seth's just gone. Like, he runs away in the dark. Because, I mean, it was a little extra for Bray to make his full entire entrance when he could have just, you know, popped to the ring.
Well, you know, he likes to make an entrance.
Yes, he's dramatic.
So, it's 10:47 on the East Coast on Monday Night Raw. Sasha Banks showed up.
Yeah, we're all sitting here. It's like, hey, it's 10:45. We're the girls.
So, supposedly, there was a Sasha Banks Nia Jax match. Supposedly. We never saw it. We saw one move, the double knees. both women are down. Emma then goes after Alexa on commentary. They all come down to the ring. It's a disqualification. Yada, yada, yada. Dana Brooke, and then, you know, Alexa and Nia work together. All the things going to happen. Mickey and Dana come out. Then Sasha gets back involved. Then Bailey comes out. And then she hits an amazing knee on Emma.
Yeah, she did.
But this whole thing felt rushed. All of it. They gave them no time on television for a match. They did, you know, we had a 2-minute brawl with all the whole entire women's division on Monday Night Raw. This was not good.
It wasn't even 2 minutes. It was like 1 minute and 10 seconds. I mean, it was terrible. It's like we've been sitting here all night waiting on the women to show up, waiting for the follow-up, and it's like from last week, and there's nothing. There's pretty much absolutely nothing. It's like you rushed this out, you pushed them all out there, so you got them all on the show. There's a check, but it's like you had this massive brawl that achieved virtually nothing beyond confirming that, yes, Alexa and Nia are girlfriends, which we all already knew.
We already knew that. And are we setting up a 7-women match at Great Balls of Fire? Is that what we're doing?
I guess. Maybe. I don't know. Like, this was just... Again, it feels like they're going out of the way to insult their women. And I don't know why.
There's no direction. None. These women have no direction at all right now. Which is sad. So, there you go. But now it's time to solve a mystery. Who has been attacking Enzo and Cass backstage? Kurt Angle, all cheery and excited as he comes to the ring, because you gotta give them the entrance. Calls out Enzo and Cass, who are all cheery and excited because you gotta do the entrance. This is a serious situation. They didn't need to do the entrance, but I digress. So, Kurt Angle has suspects. He brings out the Big Show. He brings out the Revival. Okay, cool. He talks to Big Show first. Big Show says it wasn't him. And he questions, Kurt Angle, questioning him. And all we've been through, maybe I don't need to be on your show anymore. He took offense to it. Because Angle said Cass told him how a powerful shot... a powerful punch took him out. And the only one man has that, it's Big Show, because he has the big fist. So Big Show left. Cass was saying that it was Big Show. It was definitely Big Show. Angle said, okay, whatever. He talks to Revival. Dawson said they were innocent this time. Angle said it after talking with the referees and others. He felt like they had solid alibis. But then Corey Graves, the man who knows all, knows all the secrets.
He busted out the receipts.
He did. He stood up and I said, I have something that could be helpful. And he said, Cass said something that wasn't true when he claimed he had a baseball-sized lump on the back of his head. Graves said he spoke to the trainers who said no one treated him. Cass said it was the EMTs who treated him. Okay. All right. Graves also pointed out he was never cleared last week. Graves also said he has security camera footage. So Graves was talking and setting up the footage as we see Big Cass looking around at various objects that just so happened to be, around. Maybe it was a pre-match ritual, but it was very odd. So he's moving things around, metal bars and whatever. And then Cass kicked the crate, and he was down, holding his head. And then Graves questioned whether Cass was the one who attacked Enzo. Cass is like, you're damn right I did. He talked about how everyone in the back doesn't like Enzo more. He's tired of listening to Enzo all day. He mocked the idea of him, calling out Connor. Cass said he felt bad for Enzo because no one liked him. Cass said... He put up with this crap for years, every single day, but he finally snapped. He said it felt damn good when he attacked Enzo from behind. He's wanted to do it since NXT. He said when things got a little hot and fingers were pointing in his direction, he cooled them down because he wanted to see just how smart Enzo was, or if he was just as dumb as he looks. Enzo was starting to tear up. You're nothing more than dead weight that's holding me back from reaching my potential in WWE. You're the reason I've never been a champion in WWE. He's the star. He's the future. He's where the money is. Cass says that Enzo's mouth writes checks that his ass can't cash. He's always been behind Enzo, but not for long. Because me and you, we are through. And then lays him out with a big boot, takes off the shirt, and there's the breakup.
And the internet collectively cries. WWE fans everywhere cry because, Enzo and Cass are no more.
No!
And I was really kind of hoping they weren't going this way with this, that they were going to have it be the Revival. Because it's like, yeah, okay, that's cool because that gives Enzo and Cass some direction. That helps to revitalize the tag division because, the Revival's back, which means they can team with Enzo and Cass, and whoever wins that can go on to Sheamus and Cesaro. It'll be great. No, we're just going to break up Enzo and Cass and just, kill everybody's hopes and dreams right here, right now. Why is June the breakup month?
Hashtag blame Lindsay.
I want a divorce!
Sorry, y'all. Sorry. Mondays seem to be my day.
And you hate Mondays.
And I hate Mondays.
So yes, that's where we are. Enzo and Cass are no more. WWE's putting up Photoshop pictures of Bo Dallas and IRS together.
It was the Father's Day thing. They actually recognized that Bo Dallas is IRS's son. They actually recognized it. It's canon now.
It may be canon now, but that was Monday Night Raw. We have no more Enzo and Cass.
Who gets the music and the breakup?
Enzo.
Fair enough. I won't argue with that.
Because he's singing. Because why would, you know, unless he's going to do a remix. Maybe he'll do a remix. Anyway, that'll do it for the Raw Push Show live right here on the Raw Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, WTR Sims, twitch.tv/rackradioshow. 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it's WTR in the bank. twitch.tv/rackradioshow for WTR Sims. Thursday night, it's the Rack.
That's right, tune in because we are going to be talking all about this past Sunday's Money in the Bank with plenty of controversy to hold us down. And y'all better be ready because I'm going to rant. I have feelings, very strong feelings about this pay-per-view, and I feel the need to express them. So since I happen to have a podcast, I'm going to use that as my platform to do that. Plus, we're going to have SmackDown, we're going to have NXT news, notes, tweet of the week, all your favorites. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
And maybe more.
And maybe more. Also, 5-year show for The Rack, because we've been doing this for 5 years, is coming up next week. We have plans for y'all, so just stay tuned.
Go to youtube.com/rackradioshow to see the awesome little teaser trailer I put together.
It makes us look super impressive.
It does. It's youtube.com/rackradioshow. Rackradioshow on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Saturday night midnight ish at CB Radio. We're doing TV villains this week on The Great and the Great Debate. Go back and listen to last Saturday's episode featuring sex toys and The Great and the Great Debate over Super Nintendo games. I'm not going to take responsibility for the sex toys because that was given the idea by someone. Anyway,
Super Radio. You're welcome for that.
Super Radio live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Sunday night, Tim Stein returns for Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, at WTR Sunday on the Facebook and the Twitter. We'll be back this Monday night, Raw Power Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Go ahead.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters.
Thanks to Gerbrook.net and Wrestling the Figure Photography. Follow Journey to Aid at Instagram.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you next Thursday night, this Thursday night for The Rock. Get right back here next Monday night for a Raw Push, a long day where it's the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.